Now let's turn back to the text in Ephesians 1. A person does not have to be a theologian to be a believer. A person does not have to be a theologian to be a child of God. Actually, I suppose, it's been my experience, that most believers, most true, sincere believers, would find it very difficult to put into words what God has revealed to them about Christ. I really feel like that the majority of people right here in this congregation who sat here for years and heard the gospel, believe the gospel, love the gospel, trust Christ, rest in Christ. If you were to ask them to stand before even a small group and put into words what God has revealed to them and what they feel in their hearts about Christ, most of them would be unable to do it. Unable to do it. But if you were to preach the gospel to them, as I try to each Lord's Day, and they hear it, they say, now that's what I believe. What you read, that's what I believe. What you preached this morning, that's what I believe. I can't say it like that, but that's what I believe. You see, there's some things that we know in here that we just are not able to articulate. I know and you know that we've sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can say with David, my sins are ever before me. Thank God they're not before the Lord. Christ has put them away. But they're ever before me. I can't forget them. Even David, writing the Psalms, he said, Lord, forgive the sins of my youth. He remembered them. God didn't. He remembers our sins no more, but we do. We pray all the time, like the publican, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. Don't you? I know that. And then secondly, I know God's holy. I think I realize more each day that passes, and more I became acquainted with this scripture, the holiness of God, more and more. And there's no way that we can please God in this flesh or satisfy God. There's no way we can satisfy His law, His justice, His holiness. The scripture tells us that in the flesh, no person can please God. It can't be done. The very best deed that we perform, the best deeds we can possibly perform, fall short of His glory. They're full of sin. The best gift we can give, the greatest gift we can give, the best sermon we can preach is inadequate. The best prayer we can pray, we'll be ashamed of it someday. That's right. The very best we've ever done, one day we'll say, oh, what foolishness. What childishness. What adolescence. What immaturity. What was I talking about? I like what that young Mexican preacher said when Brother Walter called on him to lead in prayer for the first time in the school. He'd been in the school a good while, studying to be a preacher, and Walter called on him for the first time to lead in public prayer in the school. And he got up, and the first words he said, Lord, forgive me for what I'm about to say. That's right. God's holy. But thirdly, I know this. There's someone with whom He is pleased. I know that God sent His only begotten Son into this world He sent him into this world to save sinners like you and me. Paul said, of whom I'm the chief. God, in the fullness of time, sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us folks who were under the law, to give us a righteousness, to give us a holiness, to give us sanctification, to give us redemption and wisdom. He suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might literally bring us to God. I know that. And he's the one of whom the Father said, I'm well pleased. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And I tell you, if I'm in him, then he's pleased with me. He's pleased with me. If I'm out of Christ, in the flesh, no man can please God. In the flesh dwelleth no good thing. But as his glory came down between the cherubims over the mercy seat, even so his glory is revealed in Christ and is upon Christ and upon those who are in Christ. Glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was, and the glory which thou gavest me I've given them. Same glory. I know that. And fourthly, I know this, and you know it. And it's hard for the average person to put it into words, but as I'm saying these words, you're saying, that's right. That's right. That's what I believe. That's what I believe. I believe him. I believe God's promise in Christ. I believe all the promises of God are in Christ. Yea and amen. I believe his word. I believe his Son. I say with the centurion, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I don't have perfect faith. Farthest thing in the world from it. Impossibility. My faith, little faith, weak faith. But it's faith. And it's only in him. Whom do you say that I am? Whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? I answer with the Apostle Peter. I say you're the Christ. You're the Christ, the Anointed. You are the Son of the living God. I believe and I'm sure that you are the Christ, the Son of God. That's what I believe. I know whom I have believed. I don't know when, but I know whom. And it's not a great deal of importance what. It's whom. That's right. I don't have the faintest idea when the tribulation is going to be or if there ever will be one, other than the one we're going through right now. This is enough for me. If there's one greater than this, I don't want to be in it. I don't know when Christ is coming. I don't know what's going to happen when he comes. Altogether. But I know whom. I know who's coming. I know who's coming. Not when or what, but I know who's coming. I know who came. And I know what he did when he came. He died on that cross. And I know why he died on that cross, that God may be just and justified and save a sinner like me and make me sufficient and meet for glory. And I know where he is now. I'll tell you, he's at the right hand of God. Within the veil, seated, victorious over death, sin, hell, and the grave for my sake and your sake. I know that. And I can say with Paul, for by grace I have been saved through faith, and that not of myself. It's the gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. But Paul writes here to the early church at Ephesus and tells them, how these blessings came to be ours. And I want to be a theologian. I don't have to be, but I want to be. Theology is the study of God. So I want to know more about him and his will and his ways, that I might have a good hope. and that I might glorify Christ. That's the two reasons. I don't want to know just for the sake of knowing. I don't want to know just for the sake of information. I don't want to know so I can argue more. I don't want to know so I can boast that I know more than somebody else. That's not why. I want to know what this is saying, that my hope might be stronger, that my assurance might be stronger, and that I might give glory to God, and that I might teach His people. So what we're going to say here is how these blessings became ours. I was preaching. A man invited me years ago to come down to Big Stone Gap, Virginia. Big Stone Gap, Virginia is down below Jenkins, Grundy, just this side of Appalachia, Virginia, on the Kentucky border, to a Free Will Baptist church and preach a week. And I went down, his name was Caudill, the pastor, Mr. Caudill, and I went down and I preached from this scripture here, Ephesians 1, what I'm going to open for you this morning. And when I got through with the message, I stepped down out of the pulpit. I was standing down at the front, and an old gentleman came by. Snow-white hair, tall, slim. He took me by the hand, and tears glistened in his eyes. This was back in the late 50s. I was 33 or 34 years old, but God had taught me the gospel. And this old man looked at me and he said, "Son," I was young enough to be his grandson. He said, "Son, I never heard it preached like that before. But," he said, "I want you to know that's how God saved me. That's how God saved me." And that's what I'm saying. You don't have to believe in election to be saved, but you have to believe in the Christ who elected. You see, that you don't have to believe in particular redemption to be saved, but you have to believe in redemption and He whom redeemed. So let's see how these blessings became ours. This man knew God. And he said, "That's how that I was blessed, and that's how it came." All right, let's look at it for a few moments. Paul. No titles, no pretense, no vainglory, just Paul. Verse 1, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. God made me an apostle. God put me in the ministry. I'm writing to the saints, to believers, which are at Ephesus. This is the children's bread. This will not be loved or believed by unbelievers. It's written to believers. It's written to the faithful. Faithful in Christ Jesus, people who are in Christ. And he prays that his desire for them is the same of with every church to which he writes. Grace be to you and peace. Grace and peace. You're not going to have peace without grace. Grace comes first. And grace and peace is from God. Here people say, "Well, I made my peace with God." It's a peace which is no peace. God's the one that makes peace. Through the blood of his cross, he gives peace. "My peace I give unto you." I give it. It's from him. From our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, watch this. Blessed be the God and Father. Put this down in your mind. These next three or four verses, Paul is going to talk about the Father and the work of the Father in redeeming us. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us." He hath blessed us already. Paul starts where he is. Paul's a saved man. He's a believer. And he says, "God's blessed me with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ." He's blessed me with all spiritual blessings. He's given me everything I need to live in glory. Spiritual blessing. They're not physical blessings. They're not material blessings. It seems like the world is putting so much emphasis on wealth and vocations and careers and popularity and health and homes and cars and all of these things, but he's not talking about these things here. He's blessed me with spiritual blessing, wisdom, righteousness, holiness, sanctification, redemption. He said in Colossians, he's made us meet sufficient to inherit glory. He's blessed me with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly, not in my garage, not in my hometown, where it counts most. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust does not corrupt and thieves don't break through and steal. He's given me a heavenly inheritance, a home, a kingdom, a family, a father, a hope, everything in Christ, in the heavenlies. I have it now. Now am I a child of God. Where'd I get it? God gave it to me. He's blessed me. This is a blessing. We look at somebody that's popular and powerful and strong and these sports figures, you know, driving Mercedes, but I would not say that. Some other car. And we say, boy, they're blessed. I don't know. If a man doesn't have a hope of glory, he's not blessed. But he blessed us in Christ. Now watch it. Take a step back. Why did he bless us? According as he chose us. God chose us. I read that to you a while ago. I thank God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you. He said to his disciples, you didn't choose me, I chose you. He chose us. He chose us in Christ. When did he choose us? He chose us before the foundation of the world. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning. Election's not up for debate. God chose us before the foundation of the world. For what purpose? That we should be holy. Not because we're holy. Somebody said, well, God looked down and saw who would be holy. No, he chose us that we should be holy in Christ and without blame. Where? Before him, in his presence. Who shall stand? Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy presence? He that's holy. Well, before the foundation of the world, he chose us in Christ that we should stand before him, holy and without blame, unreprovable, unblameable, before him in love. Now watch this. Having predestinated us under the adoption of children. You know, this word, I guess more than any other word in the Bible, causes more anger and opposition than any other. People say, you don't believe in predestination, do you? Well, my friend, if you believe the Bible, you have to believe in predestination. It's a Bible word. It's in the Word of God 3 or 4 times. But what folks do not understand is the meaning of the Bible word predestination. Average person, this is their comment. Well, you believe in predestination. You believe God predestinated some to heaven and some to hell no matter what. That's not what the Bible teaches. Every time the word is used, it's used like right here, having predestinated us to the adoption of children. Who is his son? Christ Jesus is his son. And he has predestinated. Now the word predetermined. Our destination is predetermined. Predestinated. Us to be sons of God, like Christ. Turn with me to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. And we'll help you with this now if you listen to me. You see, God doesn't have to predestinate a man to hell. Just leave him alone. He'll go to hell. God doesn't have to predestinate a man to do evil. He's born doing evil. He's born with a nature of evil. Just leave him alone. Don't restrain him. I told my Sunday school class this morning in Romans chapter 1, where it talks about God gave them up, God gave them over. God gave them up three times. What does it mean God gave them up? God lifted his restraining hand. God lifted his providential restraint and left them to themselves. That's when God gives a man up, he removes the fence. He lifts the restraints. He takes away the preventative things. Prevenient grace. And just lets him do what he will do by nature. None of you here, this preacher included, do what we are capable of doing. Because God won't let us. He restrains us. He restrains us. Thank God for his restraining grace. Don't ever take away those restraints. Don't leave me alone. You know, when Christ said of Ephraim, leave him alone, that's horrible. Leave him alone. He's turned to his idols. Don't leave me alone. When he said of the Pharisees, the disciples said, they got angry at what you said. He said, leave them alone. Boy, you don't want that. Well, I'm going to have my way. Please don't have your way. You'll ruin us all. Ruin us all. And here in Romans chapter 8, all that God has to do is just leave a man alone. But now here in Romans 8, it says in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. He's always known them, always loved them, chose them. He did predestinate. To what? Be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what predestination is. Predestination has to do with what we're going to be. Did you know that? Election has to do with who's going to be. God chose people. And he predestinated everyone whom he chose to be just like the Lord Jesus. In heaven, we're going to wear the same garment. We're going to love the same things Christ loves, delight in the same things in which he delights, know the same things that he knows, and have the same glory he has. We're all going to be like Christ. God's predetermined it. He's predestinated it. So when anybody asks you, anytime in the future, do you believe in predestination? You say, what are you talking about? Well, God predestinates some to heaven and some to hell. No, sir, I don't. You don't? No, sir, I don't. I believe in predestination as the Bible teaches it. God blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Because he chose us in Christ. Having predetermined, predestinated, that everybody whom he chooses will be just like Christ. Now that's so. And I can't be like Christ if he doesn't determine it. I can't be like Christ if he doesn't do it. I'll give you an assignment. Tell you what. You and I will part company now. I'll see you in glory. And I'm going to be like Christ because he's going to make me like Christ. You're going to make yourself like Christ? That'd be a tough assignment. Where are you going to start, Ronnie? What are you going to do? God's got to do it. Salvation's of the Lord. He's got to quicken me. He has to give me life. He has to reveal the gospel to me. He has to keep me. He has to give me dying grace. He has to raise me. He has to give me a new body. He has to take me to glory. You see, that little Jewish boy named Joseph, his father's delight, but his father couldn't put him on the throne in Egypt and save a nation. His brothers could put him in the pit, but they couldn't put him on the throne. Potiphar could put him in jail. But he couldn't put him on the throne. But I tell you who could is who did. God predestinated Joseph to be king. And God worked everything out through his life. Every little bit, every little detail, every little mountain and valley, every little success or failure, everything. Till that day He sat on that throne. God predestinated him. And I'm telling you, God's blessed us with all we need in heaven and place in Christ, because he chose to do it. And he's predetermined that everybody whom he saves is going to be like Christ. That's what he did. And you're going to be like Christ. And he's going to do it. That's what you see your destiny. What's my destination? You say, my destination is heaven. No, it's more than that. If you get to heaven and you're not like Christ, they'll throw you out. My destination is to be like Christ. That's what Paul said, to be with him, to be like him. So God, my destination has been predetermined by the Father who chose me. Now look at the next line. According to the good pleasure of his will. It's God who did it. Who maketh thee to differ? Now come on. You and me, we're different. We have a different. Somebody came to this church recently and said, your church is different. Well, who made it different? I didn't do it. You didn't do it. God did it. Our message is different. Our gospel's different. Our methods are different. Our music's different. Why? Because of Christ. He did it according to his will. It's not in us. It's not of us. It's not because of us. It's of God. Of God are you in Christ Jesus, that no flesh should glory in his presence. We're not bragging. We don't have anything to brag about. We've got something to rejoice about, but not brag about. And he did it, verse 6. Why did he do it? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made us accepting. Who does the accepting? Won't you accept Jesus? Christ is not up for your acceptance or rejection. He accepted us. God accepted me in Christ. And the only way he could accept me in Christ is to make me so that I could be accepted. He can't accept a rebel. He had to crush me. He can't accept a renegade. He had to save me. He can't accept a person filled with sin. He had to wash me. He made me accepted. Not just acceptable, but accepted in Christ. Now look at what the Son did. I'll hurry. In whom? We have redemption. We have it now. Not something in the future. We have redemption. How? Through his blood he died for us. We have the forgiveness of sin, all sin. Listen to me, past, present, and future. And then some people have trouble with that. They say, well, our past sins are forgiven, but you mean sins we haven't even committed yet or future? Yep, all forgiven. If there weren't, I'd perish. But actually, all my sins were future when Christ died. He put away all our sins. According to the riches of his grace, which he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now watch this. He not only redeemed us, but he enlightened us. How do you know God? Christ reveals God. There isn't any way to know God in his grace, mercy, and saving truth except in Christ. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork, but only his Son shows his grace and his mercy to sinners. So Christ came and he made known to us the mystery of God's will, his will of redemption. He made known unto us. Show me the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father. No man's seen God at any time. The Son has revealed him. The Son revealed. He made known unto us the mystery of God's will. And he did it according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. God purposed to reveal himself to us. And he sent his Son down here to do it. And he did it because in the dispensation of the fullness of time, when all this is over, he'll gather together in one all things in Christ. God's going to gather together his elect from the four corners of the earth, from heaven, from earth. Those that are already gone to glory and these that are living now are going to gather them all together. in Christ. In Christ. Both which are in heaven, Moses, our loved ones who are gone, ourselves, he's going to gather together. Our friends in Mexico, Australia, and the United States, all he's going to gather together in one. All things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. Now please, don't try to find, oh Lord, when the saints go marching in, I want to be in that number. Well, if you're in Christ, you'll be in that number. But don't try to find that gathering in a pool, in water, in an altar, in a profession, in your works, in your tithing, in your Sabbaths, in all these, in Catholicism or Baptist or Methodist, in a denomination. He's going to gather together all things in Christ. Because verse 11 says, in whom, in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance. We have obtained an inheritance. What is this inheritance? The inheritance of a son. Now, you remember I told you he predestinated us to be sons. We have obtained an inheritance being predestinated to that inheritance according to the good pleasure, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Romans 8 again. Turn over there. Romans 8. Predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his son, to be sons of God, to be, and what's a son? A son's an heir. Son's an heir. There's Chuck Stapleton sitting there, and right down from him is a son. That son's his heir. Whatever, if he died, that son's his heir. Of all that he has, that's his heir. Now watch this, listen. Because he's a son. I'm not his heir, nor are you. But the son is. Now watch this. Romans 8:16. The Spirit beareth witness, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit, with children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs. We're heirs of God and we're joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we be glorified together. I'm an heir because he predestinated me to be an heir. I'm an heir because I'm a son. Christ is the heir. He's the son. I'm a joint heir with him, in him. That's what predestination is. In whom we have, verse 11, in whom, Ephesians 1, we have obtained an inheritance, undefiled, incorruptible, reserved in heaven for you. Because he's predestinated us according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be sons, adopted, and heirs. Now verse 12, and he did it to the praise, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now briefly, here's the Holy Spirit's work. The Father chose us, predestinated us to be sons, accepted us. The Son redeemed us, enlightened us, and gave us an inheritance, enriched us. Now the Spirit, in whom you trusted. Who did you trust? Christ. Not the preacher. Not the Baptist church. Christ. In whom you trusted. When? After you heard the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. In whom also after you believe. I believe this. I believe him, don't you? And because we believe, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You girls, you've watched your mother can things. You do it all, it's like it's supposed to be done, the jar and the heat and all these things. Put it down in there and put a lid on. And it seals. It snaps that lid snaps in place and seals. And you put it on the shelf, it just sits there for months and years. It never spoils because it's sealed. And we're sealed, the Holy Spirit seals us in Christ. And they people run around arguing about once saved, always saved. That's wasted breath. Wasted. If God put him in Christ, and God accepted him in Christ, God made him a son. He's sealed. He can't depart. He won't depart. He can't spoil. He won't spoil. He's in Christ. He's preserved. He's sealed in Christ. And that Holy, He sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the token. His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we're sons of God until the redemption of the precious possession under the praise of His glory. Some of our dear loved ones who believe this gospel. Now, we have the token, the pledge of the Spirit. They have the reality. They've entered into it. The redemption of the possession, precious purchase possession, is there. Now, my friends, I want to tell you this, and then I'll close. I want you to open your Bibles to John 7. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And there's no debate here. Somebody said, well, I want to debate that with you. I wouldn't for not 5 minutes. There's no debate. That's the truth. That's the Word of God. That's the way God saves sinners. That's how these blessings became ours. And anyone here that can't receive that and believe that, please go somewhere else. That's the way I feel. Because this is the Word of God. We don't buck the Word of God. We don't argue with the Word of God. And here's the reason. In John 7, read what our Lord said. John 7, verse 16. Now listen to it. Jesus answered in John 7, 16, my doctrine is not mine. It's His that sent me. Now that's what I say. This doctrine I've preached this morning is not mine. It's His that sent me. It's His doctrine. God's Word. Not to be argued. That's what my Master said. As my representative, as the Redeemer, as the man Christ Jesus, He said, my doctrine is His that sent me. Now listen. Next verse. If any man will do His will, is there, would we want to do His will? His will is His way. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. That's all they saw were acts. He made known His, Moses said, show me Thy way. Show me Thy will. Do you want to know His will? You want to do His will? All right, listen. If any man will do His will, really wants to, he'll know of the doctrine. Whether it's of God or whether I speak of myself. Anybody here, it doesn't matter the preacher or who it is, if he really wants to know God's will, there it is. God will reveal it to him if he really wants to. You see, most of your relatives that argue with you on these points, they don't want to know God's will. They want their will. Free will. My will. Our will. God can't violate my will. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Cain wasn't willing to be a vagabond, but that's what he was. He said, my punishment's greater than I could bear. That's all right, it's yours. The people who stood in the judgment said, Lord, we preached in Your name, did many wonderful works. He said, depart from me. You reckon they went willingly? His will sent them. If you really want to know His will, really want to, you'll know it, whether this is of God or whether I speak of myself. You see, verse 18, he that speaketh of himself, he seeks his own glory. You see, if a man stands up here and talks about what we do and you do and I do and the world does and our denomination does, he's seeking his own glory. It's obvious I'm not seeking my glory. This kind of preaching doesn't bring you glory here on this earth. I tell you whose glory I'm seeking is His glory. The glory of His election, the glory of His salvation, the glory of His cross, the glory of His covenant, the glory of His blood. You see, when a man speaks of himself, he does it because he's seeking his own glory. And he that seeketh His glory that sent Him, let God be true and every man a liar. The same is true and there's no unrighteousness in Him.
Now that, you see, that's the sum and substance of it. And I'd say you young people, you run across young people in school with you who do not believe these things and feel sorry for them. They haven't been taught. You've been taught. You young people have been taught the word. You've been taught by your parents and by your pastor. And God has taught you. But they hadn't been taught. Their preachers haven't been honest with them. And their parents, who are hoodwinked by the preachers, haven't been honest with them. But this is what God says. And this is what glorifies God. This gospel glorifies God. It's the gospel of His glory, isn't it? If any man, my doctrine's not mine. It's His that sent me. And if any man will know His will, he'll know it. He'll know that this is God's. But a man that speaks of himself seeks his own glory. But he that seeks the glory of Him that sent him. Are we seeking His glory? Let everything we do be done for the glory of God. I'm seeking Him. Are you seeking His glory? In whatever we do, word or deed, preaching, whatever. Hope, faith, God, to God be the glory. We sing it. Well, He's true. You're true. All right, let's sing a song.